We have a wonderful team of missionaries serving around the world, and one of the places that's really special to us is South Brazil for a lot of reasons, and two of those reasons are here today. During Sunday school this morning, Aaron Wara will be giving us an update on what God's been doing in through her life and her ministry there in South Brazil. And then we'll be introducing in the morning service Randy Richner, who will be preaching this morning as well as giving a report this evening. But we thank God for what he's doing. It's an amazing story back 20 years ago when a team went from WBC to South Brazil to serve there with the Richners, and Aaron was a part of that team, and Aaron at that time was serving on staff here at the church, and eventually then getting to know Douglas, and Douglas becoming, you know, married to Lacey and becoming a part of the church. It's a long story that has given us such a love for what God's doing in South Brazil, and we're looking forward to hearing more about that today in our missions conference weekend that we're having together. But I'd like to begin our time this morning just by calling on the Lord, so let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for the privilege to call you Father. We used to be children of the evil one, cut off from you, but in your amazing grace, you have loved and reached us. You've brought us to yourself through the Lord Jesus, your Son. And because of that, we are brothers and sisters, sons and daughters with your children all over the world that you are rescuing. And we thank you for the connection we have with, particularly with our brothers and sisters in Brazil. Thank you so much for Aaron being with us, and for Randy and for Cindy who couldn't be here. We thank you for the Richners. And we commit this day to you. We long to know you better. We long to be challenged by what you're doing in the world. So use your servants as they open your word and share the stories of how you've been working in and through them in ways that will bring glory to yourself and give us eyes to see your work and the privilege of being a part of your work. We pray that as a result of this day, you'll call more laborers into the harvest. You've often worked through days like this to do that, and we pray again that we'll have the privilege to send into the harvest field from our own number. So thank you for this day. We commit it to you in Jesus' wonderful name, amen. So good to have you home, Aaron. Aaron Wara, for those that haven't met Aaron, is such a special part of our church family, and we commit this time to you. Look forward to what you have to share with us, so come.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Am I on?
Didn't sound okay. Like.
Yeah, can you guys believe it? I've been in Brazil for 18 years. So then I started having these memories of like, oh, when I worked at church, and then you're like, that's 20-year memories, or when I worked at camp, and those are like 25-year memories, and yeah. So thank you all for being faithful with me all of these years. I'm going to give a little more background, too, because I realize, thank God for this, that there's people in this room I don't know yet. So if I don't know you, introduce yourself to me later. But I'm so excited to come back and see all the new people here at Wheelersburg, so that's really, really cool. Grew up here on Green Street most of my life, worked camp, worked here. And about 20-some years ago, 22 or so, during a missions conference like this, did I really start feeling God pulling me towards missions, went on this trip that down to help Randy and Cindy. The other day I was at Bethany's for community groups, and we found the scrapbook from that trip 20 years ago. Megan, it's great. So asked Bethany to see the pictures. I had the big perm. They were wonderful pictures. You know, Gary and Nancy were there. It was a great trip. So I got there 18 years ago, Thursday actually, I celebrated 18 years. Spent the first year in language school, and then I spent the first 8 years working at this church, which maybe you all recognize. Faithudia Baptist Church, it's Douglas's home church, the one that Randy had started. Recently you all sent funds, so that's your new paint job up there on the wall. Thankful for them, thank you. Thankful for what I learned there during those years. I think more than anything else, God just taught me more than what I did there. Thankful for that time. And I'm thankful I'm still close. I get to still see the people, have contact. Some of them come to the hangout, still call Piahi for all of my water issues, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So thankful that they're still close. Then in early 2015, started a new partnership with Randy and Sarah Southwell, and our plan was to start then Logos Baptist Church and the Hangout. I'm going to talk about the Hangout in a little while. I'm going to start talking about Logos and what we've been doing there. 2 years later, in 2017, they ended up needing to return to the U.S., but God sent me Fabio and Joy Volpe. He's Brazilian, did seminary and all that there. She's actually an American MK. She's probably more Brazilian than she's American, but looks very American, obviously. Grew up most of her life in Brazil. They're married, have four kids. And they're part of a missionary agency that's more Brazilian-based, but we partner with them a lot. Randy partners with that same mission agency and different things. So those are my partners. I need to find a picture of their four kids. They're the cutest little things. If you see them anywhere, look for the three blondes that look just like her and the one brunette that looks just like him. It's hysterical. So that's that family. But we've been through, I would say, a lot of up and downs, really, over the last several years. COVID would have been a big reason because of that. We were really ramping up well when COVID hit and took a really big hit because of that. The leadership change was another one. Losing some key people, to be honest with you. There's a few stories. I won't take the time right now to do that, but we've lost some key people. Even one of the girls, I shared, you know, her story probably last time I was in and did a presentation. Shortly thereafter, moved in with her boyfriend and she was done. You know, and so that happens, makes me think of those parables of the sower, you know, what was her seed or what was her soil that she was so on fire and then, you know, quickly left. Still comes to the Hangout, but hasn't had anything to do with church. So I'd say we were really struggling even a year ago when I was in here. I know you all remember that and I asked you to pray. So thank you for praying. God is working. God is moving. This year has been so much better. Some really exciting things are happening. I'm very thankful for that. One that's been awesome this year is the Volpes and the other church people started a kids club. It's a monthly Saturday kids club, and they have kids come from their neighborhood, which is great. We don't really have other ways we get to know the kids very much except for just getting out there. So they've been doing this kids club. They do that, and it's really exciting to see the church people getting more involved. Since we're so small, we're more like a Bible study. There's not as many ministry opportunities, so this gives them a good opportunity to minister as well. But it's been really cool to hear. Joy keeps telling me stories about how the kids just show up knocking on the door during the week, like, can we come play now? Or they want to know when church is. And we've been seeing some of them come to church just in the last 2 or 3 months. And these kids just walk in on a Sunday night at 7 o'clock by themselves. And or maybe a grandma will come. But we're starting to have some of these kids from the kids club come to church. So pray that they'll keep coming. Pray that their parents will keep coming. Pray that families will get saved. You know, that God will keep working in that. We've also been hosting game nights, board game nights. How many people love board games? All right, some of you more need to learn. Yeah, okay. They love it. They had one last night, I found out. Like, they had the best time. So it's really fun. We do, like, a short devotional time. We always order pizza. Like, that's the tradition. We play board games. It's always fun to see who the really competitive people are. The most competitive is Joy. I don't know if it's because she's American, but she's full-out competitive on that Settlers of Catan thing. You know, like, very competitive people. But it's fun that we have this relaxed setting, and we just get to have fun. Look at the girl in the back left, right? Thais. I'm going to talk about her in just a second. The guy beside her in the dead middle is a guy named Giovanni. I just met him at her birthday party 2 months ago. He's come the last two game nights and went last night, too. So it's a really cool way to just get into people's lives, get them into the church, meet the pastor and his family, be relaxed, and have a good time. So we're thankful for that, and thankful for that opportunity just to reach out and be able to invite people. So Thais, I love stories. I hope you all love stories. We're going to do stories. Okay. So Thais is one that she was kind of original Hangout 8 years. Can you believe it's been 8 years at the Hangout? So 8 years Hangout. She would come all the time. We had a quick connection. Because she did an internship in Buffalo, New York, which was where I was born. So we had that whole connection, you know, Buffalo and all that. So she would come. She was actually doing the story of hope with one of our interns for a little while, asking good questions, but drifted. And then a couple years ago, well, Felipe's three. So I think when she got pregnant, did she kind of reach out to us again? And we were able to reform that relationship with her. And so it's been really great. She comes to Logos fairly often, board night, game nights. We go out for sushi quite often. We have a lot of good talks. We have a really good time. She even brings Felipe to church. I just love this picture. It was a cold night. And he's sitting there eating. I don't even know what his little chips were that he was eating. But he was just looking at the pastor, and he was just eating his chips. You know, he probably didn't have a clue what was going on, but he was just happy. And I thought it was a cute picture. So she brings Philippi. She bought a Bible. We even have that we set up a couple months ago. Our text chain is our workouts and our Bible readings. Because she's come to the hangout and talking to me about some emotional issues and some things at home and struggling and having a hard time. And I was like, you know, I think we need to move our bodies that God gave us and study God's word. And so we do that. I wouldn't say it's every single day for either one of us, but, you know, we text each other, picture at the gym and, you know, whatever, or our watch and a verse. And that's been really exciting. So keep praying for her. I love it when she's the first one of the day to send the text, you know, especially the verse. I think that's really great. But just pray for her. I think she's really searching, but it's difficult. I've seen this trend with people who are science majors. Sue is a geology major, because you're talking about millions of years in geology. So that whole shift to really believe in creation is a tough one for the science majors. And just some other of those world activism type things. She has a hard time with some passages, but she's searching. Pray she goes to church tonight. You know, she went to game night last night. Let's pray she goes to church tonight. We're there, very thankful for the opportunities we have to share the gospel. This is an outreach day that we did at the camp last year. A lot of my hangout kids were there. To be honest with you right now, it's not unusual for our church service to be more unsaved than saved. I mean, there might be days we're getting up to 60, 70% unbelievers compared to believers in the room. I think that's super exciting, because that means we're reaching out, we're getting opportunities to share the gospel. It changes the way we do church a little bit sometimes, but we are having all these opportunities to share Christ. George, gotta love George. He's from Rio. He's about this tall, and he is the most organized person I have ever met in my entire life. Even passes up Pastor Brad. I mean, just organized. If I leave the open sign crooked, he comes in, he has to fix it. We can't play Ticket to Ride that he doesn't get the trains in order, you know. But that super analytical mind is keeping him from accepting the gospel. I really do believe that, because he can't make sense out of creation. He's been doing a Bible study with Pastor for years. If you guys came in, sat down in church service and listened to him talk, you'd probably think he was a believer. But he will actually admit that he's not. He hasn't accepted it, because he can't write a mathematical formula to figure it all out yet. And that's where we know that faith, you know, is by believing things we can't see, and he can't see it, you know. So pray for George. He's been there, I mean, literally years. He's more faithful than a lot of the believers are. So pray for George. Sildo is another one. I don't have a picture of Sildo because Sildo is not anywhere. But we're going to talk about Sildo for a second. This is the Bible he just had me get. Actually, Cindy brought it back for me. He wanted an English study Bible. And this is why he said, because I'm on the path to find the light. And the only path that makes sense, Jesus. So we're thinking maybe it's possible that he's actually made a decision and just hasn't completely said it yet. But he's been doing a Bible study with Fabio for quite a long time. Just one where they ask questions. And he comes to church fairly frequently. And if not, he always asks us to do we do Google Meet. We turn on a Google Meet, and they can, still like COVID, but it works. So he'll Google Meet in. But you can see him in this picture. This picture is the first Sunday after I left. So it would have been a month ago. I had just gotten here. And apparently none of the other girls went that night even, so they called this boys' night at church. But you can see in there George sitting there, and you can see Sildo sitting there. And you can see Charlie's. Yes, the TH name there, it's Charlie's. That's how you say that, okay. So they're all there. And if you look at that group, you see two saved guys and three unsaved guys, plus the pastor, you know, and I think that's really cool. Charlie's there that I was just talking about. He's one of our hangout kids, lives just down the street and comes and get his coffee almost every day on his way to class. Class starts at 7:30. Guess what time Charlie's comes for his coffee? 7:40. So that's always the joke, that he's always late, but he comes in and gets his coffee. But he's been going to game nights. I think he went last night. He's been going pretty consistently to church. And I'm really proud of Thomas. Thomas has been the one taking him. Thomas has been part of the hangout, has been part of Logos since the beginning. And he's been really growing in his faith, super solid. Just texted with him this morning. Like, he paid for all the pizza last night. And I'm like, well, let me know if you need reimbursed. And so he's done a great job. He's stepping up, even in my absence. He leads worship. Even if I'm playing with him, he's the one in charge. So he's been doing the worship for a very, very long time. He's helping take people to and from church, leading games nights. And this year we did something new too. We started a Story of Hope Bible study at the Hangout. And when we have people, because of class being at night, it's difficult, but he's been leading some of the Story of Hope Bible studies. He did the training online with ABWE earlier this year with Randy Southwell. And so it's been really exciting to see Thomas grow. I'm gonna take a little pause here for a second. In May, we had a team from ABWE come down to us in South Brazil and take, was it 10 days, to produce videos about our ministries. So you guys are going to get the reveals of all these videos today between Randy and I. But I want to show you Thomas's video. So this gives you a little hint into what we do by showing you Thomas's story.
My name is Thomas, I'm 27 years old. I was born and raised here in Brazil. I was adopted as a baby by a single mother. She was never married. In 2019, leaving my mom, I was still living there, and I started to just feel a lot more pressure and notice how was that pressure. But eventually, because of pandemic, I ended up making the decision of moving out from my mom's to a different place. I ended up losing my job. Erin, she's one of the missionaries here at the next city, São Leopoldo, and she runs this coffee place, which is called The Hangout. Talking with Erin and other people, important people at the church, they show me what is just how Christ loves me and all. And one of the scriptures that Aaron shared with me to not feel that pressure, the high pressure that I felt, it was Galatians 3, which talk about just good deeds is your faith because of good deeds or, you know, other things, just faith by yourself. So, once I learned that and just had sinking in my brain, my heart, I felt that pressure relieving. Just it was a good understanding of that. Well, during that period, I ended up making another decision. I needed to go back to live with my mom in this time that we were apart living. It was very important for the growth of both of us. Erin and my pastor, they were extremely important for throughout this whole journey. I wouldn't know exactly where I would be if I would, I don't know, give up my faith or just step away from church or step away from the Hangout. I would be just not that good of a spot that I am right now. That's for sure. I would be maybe have not be as content or not be as happy or not be as thankful for what I have, I believe. And thankfully I kept doing the right things and know that if you're faithful to God, that He will help you.
My favorite part of that video is when he's walking out the door and little Priscilla's back there. Did y'all catch that? Go back and watch it. There is a link. Remind me later if anybody's interested. We do have a link to, there's actually 9 videos about all the ministries in South Brazil. I think you're going to see about 4 of them today. But if you're ever interested in seeing those again, let me know. Let's switch directions here for just a second. There we go. I want to talk to you about sports event evangelism. Completely different. This has nothing to do with life in Brazil, really. It's just a completely different thing that God has allowed me to be a part of. Most of you probably remember I took part in the Rio Olympics. Randy and I were both there in 2016, kind of as translators, but I ended up doing other jobs. Was going to go to Tokyo. You guys even helped me with that. And then COVID hit, and that didn't go. By the way, the money that didn't go to Tokyo paid for some months of hangout rent, so just in case anybody's wondering where that went. But we are looking forward to Paris 2024. And so I'm excited. It's really fun. So in June, I was there with Matt and Barb Douglas. They're the directors. There's actually been a little bit of a shift now than when Randy and Gary and Nancy were part of this. It's now actually under ABWE's leadership. It's a sub group, whatever, I'm sorry. But they're ABWE missionaries in Australia. And so we were there in June looking for housing and looking for ministry locations and looking for volunteers. We're looking for about 140 volunteers because that's what the housing holds, which means you all can be part. Okay? Ooh, I saw that. I saw Logan go, okay. Cody, sorry. It's a really cool dual-focused ministry opportunity. One that we have is to hand out gospel booklets. Paris is still being printed, so I can't show you Paris, and it'll be printed there. But these are Tokyo booklets. So if anybody wants to see what they look like, they're on the back table. You can see what they look like. But we'll print like 100,000 booklets in like 10 to 12 different languages to just mass hand out booklets as people are walking by. We'll hear stories of people taking a booklet, going back to their home, maybe in a country that missionaries in the Bible can't get into, and they'll go back and they'll read that gospel booklet and end up making decisions for Christ. So that's one focus. And then obviously another focus is engaging people in conversation. We look for the populated areas. This is if you look out from the Eiffel Tower, and one of the events is going to be in this area here. It'll just be full of people, and they just sit on the grass and talk. And so we'll look at that. We'll have a rotating schedule of where people go, so you get to see all the different monuments while you're doing the ministry opportunity as well. So pray for us for that. We found housing at a Franciscan monastery. It's going to be very basic. But the beautiful thing is they have 148 beds just for us. Otherwise, there's going to be like a hostel in downtown Paris somewhere. All of our meals will be provided there. There's a cute lake in the backyard. So it's a very good spot for us to be. It's about a half an hour train ride outside of Paris. So it'll be calm at night and it'll be really nice. So we're thankful that we were able to get this housing opportunity for us. So if you're interested, please go to the website. Please come talk to me. I would love to have some of you there with us in Paris. It's going to be a really cool opportunity. Okay, back to the regular schedule programming. Let's talk about the Hangout. So the Hangout is a place to relax and connect, is what that means. When the Southwells and I were kind of coming, I think this was Randy's idea, Randy Southwell, because we're like, oh, you can relax at the Hangout and you can connect by having Wi-Fi and people. Get it? You know, we thought we were so smart. but that's been our theme ever since, is this idea of relaxing and connecting. Our goal was to be able to plant a church, but to reach people in that neighborhood, which is right across the street from a major university. And we thought that if we provided, you know, coffee, cookies, Wi-Fi, comfortable couches, you know, a nice atmosphere, board games, that maybe that was the way God was leading us. And it has worked way more than we ever actually could have imagined. You know, a lot of the furniture is old used furniture because we didn't know if it was even going to work. And it did. And 8 years later, it's still going. Let me share this quote with you. There are many places and churches to go to if you're looking for God. The Hangout is there so that people that don't know they need him can find him. And that's one of our unbelieving guys that said that. This is Fabrizio. He's been coming almost since the beginning as well. And he has said multiple times that the Hangout is the first time he's ever seen Christians that he respects. And he gets it. He gets. You can come to the Hangout to see God. He hasn't made a decision yet, so pray for him that he does. That would be an awesome thing. A lot of the stories I'm going to share with you today are people who are still in the process. So please be praying for them. Pray for Fabrizio. But like, why is it difficult? Why is he saying, I've never seen Christians I respect before? In Brazil, there's a lot of, they call it the universal church, and it is packed. And they draw people in, and they draw people in on the emotion, but they suck people's money big time. You know, like literally I've heard stories of, oh, well, they made my grandma sell her washer and dryer so she could give a donation to the church, you know. Or even Fabrizio told me a story. He was a physical therapist, and he was doing his internship at a hospital. And the lady's grandson was there, and they could tell he was hungry. And they're like, why don't you go down and get something from, you know, the bakery across the street? We'll take care of grandma for a few minutes. She's like, no. That's the tithe money. The pastor's coming here to pick it up. Okay, that just blows their minds. Like, how does that happen? And so they're just so against these churches and these money-sucking churches and the health, wealth gospel and the Catholic Church, too, that they're very, very skeptical, actually. They're just really against a lot of religion. So I'll say often, it's not unbelief that's my hardest obstacle. It's actually religion in Brazil that's my hardest obstacle when I want to share the gospel with these kids. What you'll see, though, is that they're actually really interested in spiritual things. They seek them through other means. They'll look for spiritism or activism and different stuff like that. But you see how much they're starving for love. Unbelievable how much they want loved. And they want hugged. We're a hugging community in Brazil, but they just love to feel connected. And you can tell they need somebody. They need somebody to care for them. And so what they find at the hangout is people that love them. And we start off by just giving them a free cup of coffee. Did you know if you write on a mug with a Sharpie, it comes off afterwards? So they love to write their names on their mugs. We give them a free cup of coffee, a free cup of tea, super cheap snacks. And that's on purpose. They give them super cheap snacks because that's opposite of what the other churches do. And we play board games. But one of the biggest things is we show them interest. This is another missionary couple that comes and helps me, usually once a week, Rob and Lynn. We just seek to show interest in them. We ask them so many questions about their lives, their studies, their hobbies, their joys, their conquests, their defeats, and, you know, just being really interested in who they are as people. And they don't leave. They get drawn in by that, you know. By far, our most favorite activity is definitely talking. And it's interesting because, you know, like here you go to a coffee house and everybody's in their little groups, right? Usually there it's the entire room at one time in one conversation, maybe two, or you'll have a one-on-one going, but they love talking. Sure, we play some board games, we do some puzzles, that kind of stuff happens. Sometimes you see a nap happening. I love that they were in the exact same positions taking their little nap. But I love that because it means they feel safe and comfortable and relaxed enough to do that at the hangout. Every once in a while, they might study, you know, not really. But by far, the most favorite thing is just talking and that they know that somebody loves them and they cares for them. And so we just really seek to show love through what we do, and they become part of the hangout family, really. And the family gets extended. Did I lose you guys? Whoops. Had a slide there. Okay, it's gone. A lot of those relationships go outside of the hangout even. The picture that was going to come up was with me with another one of the guys and his mother, you know, going doing a visit at somebody's house. As you see everybody getting together outside of the hangout as well. But the joke was, I have been to so many college graduations over the last couple years because in sense, really, a lot of them have ended up looking up to me like as a mom or even like an aunt or a counselor or something to that effect. So I have to have all my nice dress clothes, whoever thought, so that I can go to all of these graduations. But I'm really thankful for my years here in biblical counseling training, the trips to Lafayette and all that, that prepared me, gave me a solid foundation for counseling. Are we having issues? Apparently, okay. There's a picture of me counseling somebody there, but we'll go with the pictures that pop up. So just really thankful for those opportunities that I've had, that I was able to be here and get all that counseling training and be able to take it out with me. I often try to share with them just what Christ does in my life, the way it impacts me. And you have to feel out the conversation, you know, especially if it's somebody that's there the first couple of times. They'll know I'm a Christian because they're like, why are you here? You know, that's always a quick conversation and the Bible's in the room. But a lot of times right now it's counsel, biblical that they don't necessarily know maybe is, but it's biblical counseling. And then I'll bring them into, and this is how in my life this applies, or this is how I follow. And as they get more interested, the conversations go. Of course, we're always excited, you know, when the kids are interested in spiritual things. But sometimes it just takes a long time. This is a ministry that requires patience. It requires prayer. I often just say we're excited to be part of their faith stories, to be part of their journeys. And some of you were here when I used an illustration. It's like, how many beans do we need to have in a jar before somebody gets saved? You know, we're down at grassroots level evangelism with a lot of the kids. So pray for us. There's not always great results, if we look at it that way. But we tend to celebrate all of the small victories. You know, when somebody says, hey, I prayed today, like, oh, that's a victory. You know, or if somebody says, hey, I want to come to church with you. There's a lot of victories. They just take time. So pray for us as we're working through this long process, you know, that God will bless. And then we'll see people coming to know him as Savior. How are we doing back there? We're working? Okay. Oh, that's all right. I want to show you my people. The faces and the names go together, right? Let me know if you get it. I'll tell a story here for a second. Thinking through this process, I think a lot of us in our American church ministry, evangelistic type of thinking, we were much more used to, you know, go present the gospel once and somebody gets saved, you know, those airplane stories or the Billy Graham tent stories. And those were wonderful at their time. In 2023, in a postmillennial society, in a university setting, that's not the reality I deal with. A lot of the kids, like I was saying before, are skeptical of church, or maybe they don't have any kind of knowledge at this point of anything church-related except, you know, the Jesus is a cuss word type of joke. So we're really building that foundation. And so a lot of it comes from first us showing them what a respectable Christian maybe looks like, and then we look for the opportunities to share the gospel and different things like that. So pray for us. Sometimes it's hard. And, you know, the little steps forward, and then you take 3-4 back. And sometimes that lack of the good, quick result is discouraging, can be. So just pray that we all stay encouraged in what we're doing as we try to reach out. Going to tell you a few stories here. I'll tell you one about a couple. Fabio and Emily? No? Okay. Hopefully it comes back up and I can show you who they are. But they're a very interesting couple. Both were raised in difficult backgrounds, childhoods. Fabio actually is the child of two deaf parents. I'm not sure how I ever got to this point in my life, and I didn't really have much experience with deaf people, but he's a child of two deaf parents. Miracle that he actually is hearing. Very fluent in English, fluent in sign language and all that kind of stuff. But he started coming to the Hangout about a year ago because he wanted to learn English, actually, or to practice his English. He was working for Dell Computers at the time. And she also, very rough background, mostly spent her childhood with her grandma because neither one of her parents wanted her. Her mom worked in places of ill repute, if you know what I mean, and so was not a good mother, didn't really want her. Dad didn't really want her either. So, she's had a real rough childhood and all that those feelings that come with that. So she ended up moving with Fabio, didn't even have a place to live, and they're, you know, a couple together. But it's been really interesting to see them just love being at the Hangout, just absolutely love being at the Hangout. And coming to Logos some, they always come to the game nights. Like if there's not something else on the schedule, they're always at game night. They love being there. His last birthday, he wanted to just do it at my house. He didn't want his friends over. He didn't want to do a big deal. He just wanted to come to my house. He brought his parents, and we did a little birthday party at his house. Now, it was my first time ever sitting with an interpreter and going through that. It was fun. I think this was thank you. Do you know Brazilian Sign Language is different than American Sign Language? So it was a whole different, not that I know American Sign Language either. But we did that. But that just shows me the relationships that we have, that he says, hey, I want to bring my parents over to meet you. And I was supposed to actually go to their house and do a churrasco, you know, the Brazilian steak. But Fabio lost his job at the beginning of this year. And so things have been very financially difficult for them, especially since Workman's Comp ran out. Not Workman's Camp. What's that called? When you get laid off? That. So once he got laid off and lost his job, you know, it was money for a little while. But been able to help them even just meet basic needs as he's been hurting through that. Well, since they were unemployed back in May when the ABWE field crew came through, I asked Fabio if he didn't want to be one of our translators. We needed several people to translate, because imagine we brought in, was it 19 Americans, and none of them spoke Portuguese? Thomas was the only video that was formed in English, okay? All the rest of it, you know. So we needed translators. Like, hey, Fabio, do you want to be a translator for us? So they were at the Hangout and helping with the translation, and they watched Camille's story being filmed. I'm going to show Camille's story during the main service. So as you're watching that, remember, like, oh, Emily watched all of this. So Emily watched all of this and afterwards said, hey, Aaron, I'd like to talk to you. Well, we just didn't get to talk. And maybe this was Monday or Tuesday. Thursday, we spent the whole day out at the camp where the group was staying, translating all day. Well, they had a little prayer meeting in the morning, and the kids were actually sitting outside. They weren't even in you know, the storytellers meeting. But one of the directors said, hey, guys, why don't you all go break off and pray? So the lady that was filming Camilla's story, Stacy, is just like, let's go. And she just runs over to them. She's like, let's pray, you all, and grabs them. And there's, hopefully it comes up, this cool picture of them standing there praying. And I'm looking at the directors. I'm like, they're not believers? I'm not sure they like church stuff. I hope this is okay. Like, I'm worried, like, that they're offended that they just got drug into this prayer group. They weren't. And beautiful pictures of just them standing there praying together. And right afterwards, then Emily said, like, hey, let's talk now. And we were able to go off in one of the gazebos and have our talk. She's like, Aaron, she's like, can I go to church with you? Like, I kind of have my own beliefs, but can I go even if I don't believe the same? Because I love the way you all treat us. I like the way the people at church treat us. And I just want to be around you all more, and I want to learn more. Can I go to church even if I believe differently? Like, of course you can. Especially since half of them aren't saved anyways. Like, yes, please come. So pray for Emily. She's been coming, I'd say, about every other week. She'll go to church with me. I'll pick her up. We'll have good talks in the car on the way home. Talked with her last night. She didn't go to game night because she went to her mom's. She went to go spend the weekend at her mom's house. I'm not sure what that's like. But just pray for her. This is one of the hardest parts of being here, not being able to be there to take her to church. You know, I told Thomas pick her up. She's got Thomas's number. I think Thomas calls her every week to see if she wants to go. But that's tough. And so just pray that Emily will go some while I'm gone. Pray that she'll understand the gospel. Then when I get back in March, so we can pick things back up. But just pray for Emily's salvation. And then there's another young one. Her name is Erica. She's 18. She's got this pink hair. If she pops up on screen or you see her back there, you will know who I'm talking about. Emily usually has blue or purple hair. Erica's got bright pink hair. So if you see their pictures around, you know who that is. But Erica's really captured the heart of many of the people at the Hangout. Also, tough background. I think I mentioned her to you all maybe last time. She's been coming for about a year and a half. Because the high school she was attending, the building was condemned. And so while they were fixing the building, they were going to school in the university. So they would come. So I had a group of high schoolers a lot last year. She's the only one that has been able to keep coming this year, just with her schedule. But same thing. Mom in another city and all that, you know. And dad that doesn't really take care of her, doesn't even give her money to eat on and different stuff like that. So it's been really interesting to see the Hangout people come around her. People constantly just, like, buy her snack for her. Chris, the lady that works next to me, she's a PT, Pilates instructor, gives her vitamins. You know, people have just really embraced this, like, hey, let's help Erica out. And it's even, like, life skills, you know. We came up with a plan this year. Like, I have money. You all have given me money that I could pay for her to eat every day. But we've realized that's not the best plan for her. She needs to learn some skills. She needs to learn what it means to work for what you have and not do other things to get what you have. And so what we've set up is she washes dishes for me. It's the cutest thing. I have a Hangout apron that my sister made for me. She comes in, she puts that apron on, and she takes pictures and posts it on Instagram. And she is so proud of her Hangout dishwashing job. And then I let her eat for free. But it's been interesting because there's even times that she's like, Aaron, can I have another brown? And I'm like, no, you've hit a limit today. And I know you're all like, what? But that's because she's been used to this spoiled girl thing. And so we've had a lot of really good conversations. She said before, like, it's kind of like you're my mom and Fabio's my brother and Emily's my sister-in-law. And so she sees us that way. So I've been able to have just good woman-to-woman talks with her. We've been helping her learn just to say please and thank you while turning around and giving her a hug and sharing the gospel with her. She comes to the games nights usually. She comes to church on and off as well. So just pray for Erica. You know, she's another one. Just pray that this young lady comes to know Christ. She breaks my heart even more than Emily, I think, not being there, because she would come every day and we would have these talks every day. And she really seeks love anywhere she can get it. So I'm a little scared of what the next 6 months means. I know God is bigger than that, but it's hard. So pray for her. Pray for a lot of these kids that we're very much used to coming every day, having their coffee, talking to me, talking to each other. You know, pray that God works in this time that we're apart. Matt, do you want to turn the stream off?